Today's reading is from Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The temptation of Jesus. When Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." But Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Again Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of God.
Good morning. Good morning. It is Scout Sunday. Today we celebrate the 107th birthday of Scouting in America and the support of this church for over 50 years. My name is Lauren Dakenai, and in addition to being a member of UMCTO, I am also an advisor to our Boy Scout troop, Troop 716, and to our Cub Scout pack, Pack 3716, that meets at Conejo School. And I am the Conejo District Camping Chair. Among other things, I am an Eagle Scout, which I earned in a troop sponsored by College United Methodist Church in Ventura. The Scout slogan is "Do a good turn daily." So thank you to Pastor John. He's helped me do a good turn today and allowed me to talk with you this morning. So here I am. I am mindful that I have big shoes to fill, not only those of an experienced pastor, but I'm sure many of you remember and miss Charles McCune. So I ask for your prayers as I offer up a prayer of my own. O great Scoutmaster of us all, I pray that my thoughts and words today cause prayerful reflection. May my brothers and sisters be drawn towards your heart and inspired to apply your word to their daily lives. Amen. Now, I have to admit to some anxiety. Charles used to come up here, and of course, he'd be dressed up as different kinds of historical figures, and he would regale us with all these terrific stories and anecdotes from history. And so I realized I would have to come up with something that would be sort of at least trying to get to the same kind of level as what Charles would do. And so one of the things that I thought about was, you know, I don't think anybody has ever gotten a message at church in semaphore. Well, luckily, my good wife, Peggy, headed me off there, and she reminded me that, you know, it might be humorous, but if people don't understand what you're saying, then the humor is lost. So I thank God for the guidance of my good wife, and I'm sure you would probably thank her too. Our reading today tells us the story of Jesus going into the wilderness, there to be tempted by Satan himself, not just once, but three times. It's important to realize that this happened just after Jesus' baptism, where he is declared to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So this reminds us that no one is above temptation. It comes to all humanity, even to Jesus Christ. It also reminds us that even when we have had great honor bestowed upon us, we must expect to be humbled. But God does not desert us. In fact, He has prepared us by telling us that as His children, through the gift of His grace, we are never alone. We are never without His love or His guidance. Even if we fall to temptation, He is there for us, ready to accept us back to try again and again and again. We never, ever really fall in His eyes. Grace is there for us no matter what. Jesus is able to turn away temptation by calling upon His education as a young man. He remembers who He is, who He is connected to, and what is written. It is the strength of knowing what defines him, of calling upon the words that he has been taught to remind him of the path that he must follow that leads to his forceful rejection of hunger, of putting God to the test, of vast sums of wealth. "Get away from me, Satan," he says. "That's not who I am." Jesus knows who he is, and this is what helps him overcome these temptations. How does he know these things? Because someone took the time to teach him. Men like Tom Skinner, men like Ray Warner, men like Doug Hurley. He knows who he is in part because he knows what is written. I wonder if I might ask those of you who went to middle school, back then it might have been called high school, if you would raise your hands if you went to that institution, okay? Now, keep your hands up if you would like to, and I mean yes, like to, return to that middle school and go back to that same situation and relive it over and over and over again. Okay, I don't see. Okay, all right. There's a few out there. A few of us who had it pretty good. But a lot of us remember middle school and maybe some or all of high school as being kind of tough. There are, I think, some pretty significant reasons for our discomfort with that time of life. A lot of it revolves around trying to decide who we are, what defines us. I teach high school. And I see this a lot on the faces of many of my students. In a sense, people can feel a bit lost when they don't know who they are. It's like they're out in the wilderness. Which way should I go? What's the right way? That uncertainty can really suck the energy out of you. It erodes your self-confidence. It makes you vulnerable to making bad decisions. This is just the type of thing that scouting aims to overcome. The scouting program has as its mission to prepare young people to make ethical and moral choices over their lifetimes by instilling in them the values of the scout oath and law. That's a pretty tall order. And I can tell you that pretty much everything that you have ever seen or know about scouting is focused towards meeting this mission. We too have a written code that we seek to follow, and I'm going to invite all current and past scouts to stand with me now. So if you've ever been in scouting, come on and join us, and ladies, you can join us too. I'm going to ask you to recite the scout oath and law with me. So, ready? Please make the scout sign. One, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. And now the law. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. 2. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Even if you had to read part of that, I'm sure that it seems quite familiar. Maybe like it's a part of you. Most of us older folk have had occasion to at least reflect on it and to perhaps have used it once or twice as a guideline in our lives. During a scout's career, he is called on to recite the scout oath and law on a weekly basis. In order to advance in rank, he must recite both or be asked to retry until he gets it right. If a scout is having difficulty or conflict, they are encouraged to bring the oath and law to bear to help them overcome it. It's a lot like what Jesus draws on when he refers to what he has learned. It is written. He keeps coming back to important life values that he has been taught. Why do we do this? Because we know that in the course of life, all of us will be placed into situations that force us to make choices about that fundamentally challenge us on a moral and ethical basis. All of us find ourselves in the wilderness. We all will be tempted, not just in the wilderness, but in our homes, at work, and on the street. But if, like Jesus, we remember who we are, if we remember those values that define us, we can stay on the straight and narrow path of good. If you look at the scout oath and law, it's easy to see how it can be used as a shield against evil. You can see a lot of the Ten Commandments reflected in those 12 points. The first 11 points are things that most people would agree will get you through life pretty well. But they are not flawless. Each one of them, taken individually or even as a whole, do not guarantee success. That's just the way life is. And that's why the 12th point of the Scout Law is so very important. Because when everything else has failed you, if you remember that God's love and grace is yours automatically, if you fail not just once, but many times, that love, that grace is still there waiting for you to try again, then you're never lost in the wilderness because you are never alone. There is always hope. Jesus didn't just go to the wilderness to be challenged by the devil. He went there to be alone, to reflect, to take in the greatness of God. And so the wilderness is not a place to be avoided so as to avoid being tested. We climb those mountains to be away from the daily grind, to be away from the noise and distraction of a busy life so that we can be closer to heaven, to perhaps hear God speaking to us. And sure, to be tested, to be put into situations where we learn the importance and the joy of being prepared. So in a sense, we learn to enjoy being tested, because it allows us to measure ourselves. I think Jesus also wanted to be tested. He went into the wilderness after being declared to be the Son of God. The wilderness. Not to some nice big city. Not to a resort. Not even to his home. He made himself more available to Satan, in a place where there would be little in the way of support, so that he too could be measured, and in the process, more clearly defined. In scouting, we go to the wilderness to be tested, to measure ourselves, to get out of the ordinary, to get out of the everyday. When we come back, we are profoundly changed. I've seen it so many times, not just in my own experiences or those of my sons, but in many other boys. And I've seen the look on mothers and dads' faces when they realize that their child has come back changed and altered in a way that clearly shows that they are on the right path. It is indeed satisfying as a parent to know that your child knows who they are and they can walk with confidence through the wilderness. But it doesn't end just there. Knowing who you are is just a first step. Once you are able to make that step, it becomes clear to every good leader that they must take a wider view. That is, they must look further than just themselves. When you come back from the wilderness, you want to share what you have seen. When you come back from the wilderness, you want to bring the wilderness to other people. I think that this was significant for Jesus because after he was able to be tested and he was able to define himself, he went on to work with others and to serve others. And this is where the great adventure really begins. Amen.